I like the little groupings of threes and fours found in Proverbs 30. And I imagine that it's possible that God inspired each individual animal or insect to be used based on His awareness of how they were created, how they were wired to operate. It's easy to gloss over these groups. When you dive down the rabbit hole, or ant hole in this case, you see there are complex reasons each animal or insect fits the description. So Proverbs 30, verse 24 says, "There are four things which are little on the earth, but they are exceedingly wise." The answer... The author identifies these four things as being known for their wisdom despite being small or being not strong. Strong here means mighty, powerful, fierce. Think a lion, heavy wind, mighty waters. Don't confuse. In fact, most ants can carry 10 to 50 times their body weight, with some species carrying 100 times their weight. That's the equivalent of a grown adult lifting a garbage truck. Like me, they have an incredible muscle to body mass ratio. The implication is that an ant will use wisdom to carry out its duties despite its size disadvantage. And we're going to see three themes as we discuss these incredible creatures. The first is that they work hard in season. They are not lazy. They work hard. Second is that they are prepared for harder times. They're prepared for harder times. And the third is that they work together as a team. I will say the first idea, working hard in season, will be the main point that we will see throughout this. So let's continue on where we were. The ants are a people not strong, verse 25, yet they prepare their food in the summer. They prepare their food in the summer. The NIV says they store up their food. Ants are actually farmers. The leafcutter ant, for example, does not eat the leaves that they cut, as they cannot digest the vegetation. What they do is they take the scraps of leaves back to their nest. They chew it into a pulp, they fertilize it with their own droppings, and they lay it out, creating a substrate that fungi will grow on. They then weed out the unwanted fungi species. And what is left is an exclusive species of fungus, Leucoagarecus gangliophorus. That fungus is the sole source of nutrition for an entire leafcutter colony. In fact, it is believed that this particular species of fungus can no longer survive without the help of leafcutter ants. It's truly a symbiotic relationship of agriculture. In fact, they will use a specialized bacteria on their bodies to create an antibiotic that protects the fungus from unwanted pests. Some ant species will even literally plant the seeds of plants that the colony relies upon for survival. In addition to being farmers, ants are ranchers. Aphids, small insects, create a sugary liquid that they call honeydew, which is a food for many ant subspecies. The ants are able to milk the aphids to obtain the honeydew. They'll corral the aphids into herds, literally moving them to greener pastures. They will pick leaves that they know will create the correct level of honeydew for that colony to survive on, and they will move their herds to those leaves, protecting them from predators like ladybugs while they're doing so. In fact, if a colony relocates, the ants will carry the aphid eggs to the new colony to establish a new herd for their ranch. Let's go over to Proverbs 6. This is the second area where ants are mentioned in the Bible. You will see this being very similar. We're going to skip around a little bit in Proverbs 6. Proverbs 6, verse 6. It begins, "Go to the ant, then we'll skip. Consider her ways and be wise." Verse 7, "Which having no captain, overseer, or ruler, provides her supplies in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest." gather supplies at the right time is a concept that ants follow that we should listen to. You could call it making hay when the sun is shining. That's been a phrase around here for a long time. They work hard when appropriate. Well, what is appropriate for us? Perhaps it's after a good night's rest, when you have the energy. Maybe it's when you're young and have limitless energy. Maybe it's when that particular season in life calls for it. We can't always control what season we're in. But when we're in a season of life that calls for hard work, we should be found so doing. I'm reminded of Joseph. He found that there would be 7 years of plenty, followed by 7 years of famine in Egypt. He had no control over when those 7 years of plenty would take place. But when they were happening, he worked hard and prepared to ensure that Egypt could survive the 7 years of famine. For us, we find it in making sound financial decisions, planning for tougher times, physically by eating healthy and exercising to keep our muscles and joints in good working order. Spiritually, we prepare by Bible study, prayer, meditation on God's Word, preparing to make sure there is enough oil in our lamps. But look at how this section of Scripture begins in verse 6. Go to the ant, you sluggard, with an exclamation point, an English, Hebrew exclamation point, whatever it is. And then it continues on. How long will you slumber, O sluggard? When will you rise from your sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep? So shall your poverty come upon you like a prowler, and your need like an armed man. Sluggard is a word that gives great visualization, even though we don't really use that word very often. The Hebrew root word means to be slack or slothful, to lean idly, to be indolent. Indolent is another word we don't use very often, and that means to avoid activity or exertion, to be lazy. So we see that verses 9 to 11 is a continuation of the chastisement that began before ants were even really talked about. Laziness and idleness are being confronted here. I'm reminded of 1 Corinthians when Paul says, "When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things." It is a similar thought to spiritually moving from milk to meat. We must be actively working at the time that it's appropriate to do so. So what is lazy or sluggardly for you is up to interpretation. Each of us are unique in composition, both physically and mentally. By and large, we know that we have 16 to 17 hours each day that we're awake, and we have 6 days a week to work. We need to sleep for 7 to 8 hours each night, and we need to rest from our weekly activities one Sabbath each week. What we do in the rest of that time is really up to us on how we're going to spend that time and what is the right ratio of work to rest in those periods. When it gets to winter, ants shut down. They go into a state called diapause, which is somewhat like hibernation. When it's time to work, they work very hard. When it's time to rest, they rest. As Ecclesiastes says, to everything there is a season. So how hard do you work to prepare for tougher times? And how willing are you to conserve energy in the winter seasons of your life? These seasons can be both literal and figurative. By most historical standards, we live in one of the greatest 80-year time spans of any generation. As much as we like to complain, we really do have it good. But we know that harder times are coming. Now is the time to be putting oil in our lamps. When in winter, ants huddle together during the coldest winter months. A fire ant colony will form a giant ball underground, using its combined energy to create a microclimate. The outermost layers of ants freeze to death. No direct comparison here. Don't lick other people's wounds. That's gross. But during the winters of life, the true valleys, We need to focus on community and togetherness. We should recognize that each person has an individual purpose and value, and we should help to preserve unity in love for one another. The late physician and poet Lewis Thomas was quoted as saying, "Ants are so much like human beings as to be an embarrassment. They farm fungi, raise aphids as livestock, launch armies into war, use chemical sprays to alarm and confuse enemies, capture slaves, engage in child labor, exchange information, see but watch television." Brethren, when we're in a season of growth and prosperity, let's shift our mindset to work and productivity. When God blesses us, let's capitalize on those blessings to be better prepared for tougher times. And when those seasons, be prepared to rest and conserve, looking out for the needs of one another, strengthening the support of our community. There are many who believe that signs are pointing to us living at or near the end of this stage of God's plan for mankind. If things are going to get worse, our years of famine are coming. This is the time to be capitalizing on the bounty of blessings that God has given us in this age. Go to the ant, consider her ways, and be wise.